Barry, would you come? The theme for this year has been life in the Spirit. And I shared that with Barry, and one of the reasons I love having Barry here is because he exemplifies that. You know, living in that intersection of spiritual reality and life here on earth, and functioning in both realities at the same time.
We can.
And bringing them together. Yeah. So, Lord, I thank Amen. You for Barry. And I pray, Lord, that that word which you have placed on his heart would come forth in such a way, Lord, that our hearts would hear and that we would respond. And, Lord, that we would be called higher. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joel. So good to be back here. Spring City Fellowship. Spring. I like that word. Not just because of the season, but God's always waiting to spring forth from within. From within. You see, greater is He who is in us than that one who's in the world. In heaven, that one has no name. He's just called that one. Did you know that? It's true. There are rabbis that will say that that is fact. There are also a few that have come back from the dead and have testified to that same thing. You see, we don't need to give that one more place than he deserves. Some people are so devil-centered, you see, that I think he gloats in that one. We have the same Spirit in us that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. He dwells in our mortal bodies. Our bodies are called temples of the Holy Spirit. Paul mentions that twice in the first letter to the Corinthians. And our Lord Jesus, before he departed, I mean very shortly before he departed, he's instructing his disciples. You can find these verses in John chapter 14 as well as John 16. He talks about the Holy Spirit being another comforter. That means he was comforter to his disciples. He said, if I don't go away, he cannot come. He didn't say it or thing, but he said he cannot come. For he is with you, but he will be in you. See, so often I think our mentalities drift. Just thinking that, you know, God in the third heaven, that is God the Almighty, God the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, he's described as the Lamb in Revelation more than any other title or description. And that the Spirit that flows from the throne, where the two are on the throne, there's no interruption. There's no distraction. There's no delay, but there's a continual flow. And wherever the Spirit of God flows, there's life. Jesus said the Spirit gives life. And as Jesus said, the advocate, he will be your helper, your guide, your teacher, your comforter. He's even called by Paul Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, Lord God Almighty, Yahweh El Shaddai, Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh, Spirit of the Lord, And Jesus Christ, HaMashiach, is Lord. There's a tri-operation. Father is thought. Jesus is word or voice, and Holy Spirit operates or activates. And we have the fullness of the Godhead within us. In the 16th chapter, more words from the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears and will tell you whatever is to come. He will glorify me. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He will receive from me what is mine and will tell it to you. Benny Hinn, and I never read the book, nothing against the book, but I love the title, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. His loving kindness is new every morning, right? I mean, before we awaken in the morning, his thoughts are so incalculable toward us, more than the stars sprinkled across the velvet darkness. Think of it. He loves us with an everlasting love, and his love never fails. His love never pales. It's everlasting. You can't get him to love you any more than he does through performance. His love never fails. And he abides in here. How many of you remember the date? And you don't have to remember the date. You remember the date when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus? He said, Lord Jesus, I receive who you are. All that you accomplished on the cross, when you died, when you were buried into that tomb, when you rose from the dead. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't change myself. I needed someone to take this sin nature, the sins that we could never calculate. Come into my life, take me over, overtake me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. What happened? The Spirit of God came in, right? You were regenerated. You became a brand new creation, created to walk in newness of life. I so love what Pastor Joel was saying, that every day is resurrection. Raised to walk in newness of life, sin no longer has dominion over us. But he's our life, isn't he? And you see, when we opened our lives to him, what happened in our spirits? We were born again of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. That resurrection happened within our spirits. Now, I know some people just zero in on the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, as far as the human spirit. But the Lord cares about our spirit, soul, and body. The great verse in 1 Thess chapter 5, verse 23, and may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May you be presented faultless, complete, i.e. without blame or shame. Spirit, soul, and body. And he said that this would happen on the day of the Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. And then he says he'll do it. You see, there needs to be a flow inside out. We're so aware of outside in. We see things, we hear things, we're affected by those things. Remember the plandemic? Boy, did it cause fear. outside in instead of inside out. Now listen, I believe we need to be wise, okay? If anything good happened, people wash their hands a lot these days. They cover their coughs and their sneezes. Those are good things, right? But I want to tell you something. Fear paralyzed this nation and the world. Outside in. And it's real. We all know tragic things that happen from loved ones, from dear friends. I don't minimize that, please. But we've got to live inside out and not outside in. See, this is an upside down kingdom we're in. Right? The least are what? They're greatest. Last are first are last. Huh? Yeah. And he says, the greatest among you are servants. I was telling one of my neighbors, and she said, thank you for, we live on a decline, and I try to help some of these older people. You know, they need help sometimes. You know, those old folks. Look, I'm going to be 80 in about 5 years and a couple months. Moses came into his ministry at 80. I'm excited. And I said to Paul, I said, we need to help one another. I said, Jesus made foot washing famous. And before that, it wasn't famous. But he said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve, right? It's an upside down kingdom. And we need to see things inside out. Spirit, soul, and body. Think about this a minute. Peter is writing in the second epistle that bears his name, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. He says, he has given to us everything. Everything pertaining to life. Help me with life here. What did we receive when it was life? Come on, help me. What kind of life? Abundant life. Overflowing life. And much more abundant life. How about eternal life? I had lunch with a friend of just a few days ago who's writing a book, Eternal Tea. You put those two words together, same root. And he says, you know, we're so time conscious. Making time, keeping time, counting time. We're eternal, thing. We're eternal. We need to have a view of eternity in here. The body can die, will die, but you go on living. I tell people sometimes, you know, if I die, I live. And if I live, I live. And I want to just keep on living, you see. You have provision in here, in your spirit. Sometimes we're asking the Lord for what he's already given us. We're trying to get where we already are. Haven't we been raised to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places? I read this not long ago. We need to live on this side of the cross, the empty tomb, because we're raised to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and he's granted to us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When we share in the Lord's Supper today, we have in common with the Lord. We have in common with one another his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're his body, and he's in us to will and to work his good pleasure. The greater one is in here. And I want to tell you something. Did I mention metamorphosis the last time I was here? Yeah, I probably mention it a lot because monarch butterflies are still pestering me. And they're not supposed to be in Thomasville, Georgia until October. Now tell me, how does that happen? Because God will not let me forget what happens in here. The transformation from spirit flowing into our soul, flowing into our bodies and flowing outward. We see that in the Lord Jesus. If the Holy Spirit permits tonight, I want to share with us how Jesus was filled in his soul. Spirit of God came in, right? While he prayed. Remember that? Huh? Help me here. He's without sin. Comes up out of the water. While he's praying, heaven's opened. No distance between heaven and earth there. Spirit of God descends. The descent is like a dove. And the Spirit, we know the Spirit fills him, but it says the Spirit rested upon him. And then Father spoke. What? My beloved Son, in whom I delight, or I'm well pleased. And a few verses after that, namely Luke 4:1, he was filled with the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. There's a process. And where was he led? Come on, help me here. To the wilderness, to be tempted by that one. The temptation didn't happen till after he had fasted for 40 days. Now, what was tempted? Don't answer. His soul. The first thing that one said was, if. If what? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What does if do? It affects your brain, your mind. You know, when we receive Jesus, we receive the mind of Christ, right? Doesn't Paul write that in Corinthians? He says, you have the mind of Christ. To the Philippians, he writes in the second chapter, let this mind be in you. That's why we get this beautiful admonition in Romans 12 about not being conformed to the way the world thinks, the world systems, but what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's the metamorphosis. Transformed. And he says this blows my little Pee Wee Herman mind. Speaking of the natural, because I do have the mind of Christ. You got to let this mind be in you. He says, and thereby prove, listen to this, the perfect and acceptable will of God. That only happens when we're renewed in the way we think. Metamorphosis. And what happens to the caterpillar in the chrysalis, the chrysalis, the chrysalis? What happens? It what? Oh, yes. What does it turn into? Soup. That's close. Thick soup. A gel-like substance. Then you know what happens in the gel-like substance? The cells are rearranged. I wonder if somebody's wrestling with cancer. Could be. God wants that metamorphosis from the Spirit flooding and filling our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions, our heart, which is the core of the soul. Isn't the soul important? Help me here. Yes. Bless the Lord, oh my. Praise the Lord, oh my. Oh my. Why are you cast down? Yes. You'll see tonight, if I'm permitted, Jesus was very grieved in his soul. That's at Gethsemane, the place of crushing. And when he resisted that one three times, who tempted lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, three temptations, right? It says he came down out of the wilderness. That's after the angels fed him, by the way. Angel food? I wonder if it was manna. You know what manna is? Super substantial, essential bread. Daily bread. Super, substantial, essential. You might want to write that down. The next time you pray the prayer, Lord, thank you. You may not even get very far past the prayer as you begin to meditate on that super, substantial, essential bread. We're going to have communion in a little while. The bread of life in you. The identity of Christ that you share with Him. Right? Co-heirs with the Lord Jesus. Heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. That's what's reality in here. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. You can't get Him to love you any more than He does. And it says this, Jesus came down out of the wilderness. Now listen, the first time we find it, in the power of the Spirit. You see, the flow that happened, the Spirit rested upon Him but filled Him. And then the Spirit led Him. And something happened in the soul when His soul was tempted, because He was tempted at all points, just like we are, right? Yet without sin. It says this, the first time we see it, and He came down in the power of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said something like this as far as interpretation. He said, any man thirst, he's talking ladies too, mankind, come unto me and what? Drink. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's synonymous with what we see at the throne in Revelation 22. The one throne with the Spirit of God flowing. And wherever the Spirit of God flows, there's fruitfulness. There's fruitfulness. Now, the only thing that will stop the filling of our souls is if we quench the Spirit, or if we grieve the Spirit. You see, to quench the Spirit of God is always moving. Jesus said, my Father is always working. Always. Spirit of God is always flowing. We can interrupt the flow. Inside out. We can interrupt it right here with our thinking, right? Don't believe that. Didn't learn it in Sunday school. My favorite preacher never taught me that. Well, I want to tell you something. I never want to arrive on this side. I want to continue to be transformed. Because I am, are you with me there? I am very limited in my natural mind. Some of you people are brilliant. You've got high IQs. Carrie, you are very bright. Now quit shaking your head no. He's shaking his head yes. Somebody is, see. See, she's realized that she has to have a cranial enema on a regular basis. That's why she's shaking her head no. Jesus said this. He said, I can do nothing from myself. Three times. That is a great place to be. I can't do it. But Lord, you can do all things. And I can do all things through you, through you, because you fuse your strength to me, you see. Yeah. You don't want anything to interrupt up here what God wants to do as He flows through you, see. Overtake and take over. You see, and as these cells are rearranged, I wonder if the kind of transformation that can happen in our minds, in our will, in our emotions, in our hearts. Peter is filled with the Spirit three times. The first time in Acts chapter 2, two other times in Acts chapter 4. That's Peter. And each time, there was a process of waiting and not knowing exactly what was going to happen. All they knew on the day of Pentecost, because they had been waiting for days, hadn't they? Didn't he say, wait until you are endued with power from on high? He said this. He said, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you'll receive what? Power to be my witnesses. Now, they had already known the power of God. But you know something? They delayed and disrupted oftentimes what God wanted to do. Somebody picked me up from the airport, Allentown, Bethlehem, yesterday, and said, do you believe that the will of God could be delayed in our lives? And I said, yes. You think we could make decisions that take us off track? Come on, help me here. Do you think that's possible? Yeah. The wonderful thing about God is he wants to get us back on track. You can miss it, and if you desire to hit the target, he'll bring you right back where you missed it. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's all about him. We can't, but he can, you see. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they're waiting. And it happened on the day of Pentecost, right? But you know, they'd already received the Spirit, hadn't they? You remember in the upper room? The first post-resurrection encounter that they had with the Lord Jesus? When they just heard the gospel of the resurrection from who? Mary Magdalene. Didn't she preach the resurrection? Come on, you guys that don't like women, listen, get over it. You're narcissistic. She preached the resurrection, and the scripture says they believe not. Wow. You know what unbelief is? It's just believing the wrong thing. Chew on that a while. You think we could be unbelieving believers? Oh, I think so. I think so. We could believe the wrong thing. And when Jesus stepped through those locked doors in his glorified body, their fear fell by the wayside and joy took over. And he spoke shalom and changed the atmosphere. Shalom. You know, you can speak shalom to your soul. Oh, my soul, why are you cast down? You shall yet again praise him. Bless the Lord, oh my. Praise the Lord, oh my. And you remember Mary, oh. Mary and Elizabeth, they were fellowshipping a miracle. Both of them were carrying miracles. Remember that? Yeah. And Lizzie, she was old. Far along her childbearing years, far along, you know. No hope. You know, I'm going back to Ritzville, Washington, the state of Washington in August. I was there in August this last year. And I want to tell you something. I can't do anything. God's the healer. But you know what? He tells us to heal the sick. How does that work? Is that a contradiction when he's the healer? No, we just know that we represent him. And he does the healing. Spirit of God flows, and I don't want to interrupt or delay that flow. I don't want to disrupt that flow because he's flowing. He wants to flow from inside out. So the pastor, Bill Cox, he'd been in a home meeting the year before, and God moved in a wonderful way. Some miracles happened in that home meeting, and he said, when you come back, he said, I'd like to know. I'd like to have you in my church. So it was a year later. This was last August, and I'd ministered I think it was 9 times in 8 days, and I was going to finish out that night I'd ministered. And anybody know anything about Idaho, Sandpoint, Idaho, or Post Falls? Doesn't matter, does it? Well, I had about a 2.5-hour drive to Ritzville. I called the pastor because he had said to me a couple days earlier, would you pray for Dee Dee? Anybody hit 86 yet? Do we have any 86-years? Oh, Dan, you look like you're 43. I don't know, you married a child bride there. Gladys, she's about 32. I'm running for mayor, by the way. No, just kidding. He said, Dee Dee is bedridden, 86 years old. She's been hospitalized twice. She's in writhing pain. Would you be willing to come by her house? I mean, she's bedridden. I said, absolutely. So I got to Ritzfield, and I called the pastor, and I said, you know, I'd like to go. And he said, you don't need to. She's insisting on coming to the service. She's bedridden. She's in writhing pain, hospitalized twice in the month, you see. No, she's insisting on coming. She wants her family there. She wants her family praying for her. Didn't say anything about me. Hallelujah. So he said, we'll do a few songs, and then I'm going to hand you the mic, and you do whatever the Holy Spirit asks. And so he gave me the mic, and we did whatever it was. I don't remember. But just wanted to just focus on the Spirit of God. Our Lord Jesus, our sacred head, our Father who would be glorified, honored. Then I asked them to bring Dee Dee up. They rolled her up in a wheelchair, and she was just there sitting in the chair. We're worshiping. Pat, we're worshiping. And all of a sudden she looks up and she says, I want to get up. I said, you do? I didn't say, now get up. Get up. I said, you do? And she said, yes. And I braced my forearms, and she held the forearms, and she got up slowly, and we're worshiping. Our eyes are on Jesus, trying to follow what Holy Spirit is doing. And she says, I feel my back straightening. Didn't know she had a crooked spine. She starts moving. And then she says in a few moments, I want to walk. I said, you do? She said, yes. I'm going along with this, you see. So she starts walking. And then she says, I want to walk by myself. I said, you do? She says, yes. And Dee Dee walks all the way back and sits down. Stayed there the whole service. I mean, I didn't even preach. I don't even know what happened. Just Holy Spirit started moving and people, you know. So this year we'll go back for more services, you see. But I called Pastor Cox a week later, and I said, well, how are y'all doing? He said, it was amazing. This morning, Dee Dee was standing so erect and upright, and just the place just came apart, you know. Why? Because of him. Because inside out, saints, inside out. You see, the transformation that happens when we let our souls just be overtaken and taken over without exception, without qualification. Fill me, flood my soul, Lord. My mind, my will, and my emotions. And Lord, I want my heart. You see, what grieves the Spirit is impurity. I was ministering to someone within the last 24 hours who's very critical of this church and that church, and they're not doing anything down there. And I said, listen. We have got to purify our hearts. We can't be criticizing, because if we're not careful, we just turn into the one that looked at the tax collector and said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. I tithe, I pray, I go to synagogue, I fast. I'm certainly not like those in the first you name it church on the corner. You see, we don't need to go there. We need to have pure hearts. Pure hearts. Because Jesus operated with a pure heart. He said, the pure in heart do what? See God. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. And the heart has everything to do with the soul. It's the very core of the soul. It's not to be mistaken. It's not the spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. A flow. I don't want to interrupt the flow. How about you? If my thoughts are going awry, I think I mentioned this. I mentioned it a lot. Holy Spirit, be the filter of my thinking. And I'm so aware of what I'm thinking. When I start to think ill of someone, I just automatically say, Lord, you know, I've probably done that. And if I didn't do it, I thought it. And sometimes I think our thinking is just as wrong as the actual doing. Jesus said something about lust being the very act. Are you with me here? Create in me a, renew in me a right spirit, that I might teach transgressors in the way of life, you see. Oh, Lord, I want to change the way I think. I don't want to look down my nose at any person, even if they're in the gutter. Because save for the grace of God, what? There go I. We can't forget what He's done in us. But we can't look down our nose at anybody. I said, don't get caught up in the politics of this world. Well, you know, that bothers some friends. You know, the early church, they exploded with growth. One of the times Peter and John were filled with the Spirit was when they were severely threatened by the authorities, including the high priest. Acts chapter 4. Why? 5,000 just came to the Lord. Because that man with prune-like thighs, I mean, you're lame from how? Birth? Remember the guy at the gate beautiful? Acts chapter 3. You think his calves were developed? Honey, his thighs, his quads, they were like prunes, maybe raisins. I'd rather eat the grapes than the raisins. I'll eat the raisins. Such as we have, we give to you. You think there was a flow? Spirit, soul, body? What about the process that happens within where our soul is transformed? We start thinking differently. And something comes up tomorrow, doesn't it? Something comes up later in the day. Didn't Paul write to the Ephesians in chapter 5, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess or debauchery, dissipation, however you want to look at the translation, but be what? Continually being filled. It's our soul that gets filled. And then there's a flow throughout our body. Metamorphosis happens. Share with him a miracle. We just heard it a couple days ago. My wife, you know, she was bone on bone in her knees. Anybody know about bone on bone in the knees? It's painful. It's horrible, isn't it? Yeah, bone on bone. The right was bad, but she hurt herself, and they did a knee replacement. Well, I'm going to tell you something. She had a knee. Anybody had a replacement? Hip, shoulder, knees? That's not the unpardonable sin, by the way. There is no guilt. There is no condemnation. There is no shame. Do you hear that? I always say this, and it bears repeating. Jesus never tells someone who's sick or infirm, oh, ye of little faith. Never. Go back and look at it in the concordance. Never. He has to deal with his disciples, though, doesn't he? Because they have duh moments. They just don't get it. But it has nothing to do with someone sick or infirmed. So she had her left knee completely replaced. She's had a hard time. A lot of scar tissue. Sometimes scar tissue, there's more than others. She only has about 60% of her motion in the left knee. I mean, she can walk, but she has to push up with those triceps and get up slowly. And then she starts the walking. Heel, toe, heel, toe. How do I know heel or toe? I'm a coach. But you know something? We went to check it out because it just, you know, it's been a year and almost 5 months, you know. And so both knees were bone on bone. Now listen to this. This is wonderful. We go to the third orthopedic, who, what this orthopedic does, he puts a rod up the femur. He puts a rod down in the tibia. Thank you. Yeah, I started to say fibula. That's wrong. Tibia. Then puts a whole new knee, and they remove cartilage and everything. Puts a whole new prosthesis in there. They do some x-rays on my wife. Now listen to this. Her right knee no longer is bone on bone. We saw pictures before, like a year and 7 months ago, and that right knee was bone on bone. And the guy's showing us it's not bone on bone anymore. A metamorphosis has happened in her right knee. Now, she still has 60% range of motion. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? Well, guess what? I'm believing, and she's believing with me, that something's going to happen to that prosthesis. Can a leper's skin go through a metamorphosis where that skin is transformed? Help me. Is that Bible? Doesn't say metamorphosis, but something happened in the layers of the skin, transformed. See, if you have a diagnosis of cancer, we're not denying that, but you know what? We're denying the fact that a metamorphosis is not going to happen. It'll happen. I want to change the way I think. I want to change the way I think. And so, Lord, thank you that you're moving in this house right now. We want our whole being, don't we? Our whole spirit, soul, and body. Remember the prayer of John as we're getting ready to go into communion, have communion. Remember the prayer of John? 3 John, isn't it? Verse 2. That you might prosper and be in good what? Even as your soul prospers. You see, if we can walk, yes, temptations are going to come. Trials are going to come. Circumstances are going to come. Those are opportunities. People are going to show up. Those are opportunities to let the Spirit of God overtake and take over and respond not the way we used to, but a new way, a new attitude, a new thought, a new heart. And we're filled with the Spirit. And guess what? I want to tell you something. There's a flow. There's a flow throughout our bodies, every system in our bodies. And there's a flow inside out. I was sharing with JP, my buddy here. We've known each other for over 25 years. Over 25. Man, huh? That's a quarter of a century. Half of two centuries. No, it's not. You remember the tattoo I shared about? Did I share with you about the tattoo? This happened in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, by the way. I went there and did a leadership weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and then we had Sunday service. And so I'm coming back a month later to do a week-long camp meeting in this church. I'm going to do another camp meeting this August. And in between the leadership weekend, a couple who were steeped in devil worship, Satanism, right? Huh? They were part of a coven. Is that Satanism? Help me, a coven? Or is it coven? I need your help. Is it a coven or a coven? Yes, you put food in an oven. It's a coven. And they're steep. I mean, there's condominiums, there's townhouses, you know. I mean, just a bunch of Satan worshipers. This guy has a pentagram on the palm of his hand, tattooed. Not with magic marker, tattooed. He and his girlfriend come to the meetings in between the leadership weekend and camp meetings. and they get radically saved. I mean, radically. They come out of Satanism. Big time. During camp meeting, okay, this is a couple weeks later, he comes up to me like this. Shows me the palm of his hand. I don't know what he's showing me. There's a little bit of an ink spot. I've got the picture. I'll show you at lunch. Remind me at lunch. I've got the picture. A little faded color here. The tattoo has vanished, except this little reminder that the tattoo was there. And people witnessed to the fact that it happened. Huh? Who did that? That's right. The Spirit of God. You see, if we will just cooperate with Him and not say, well, I'm 86 now. Listen, when we partake of communion, we are going to discern the body of Christ, one another, relationally, His body and what His body was broken for, what His blood was shed for, and His blood is moist on the mercy seat in heaven right now. Moist on the mercy seat in heaven, speaking louder in our behalf. You are not guilty. Shame off you. Guilt hit the road, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more. And if you come back, I'm going to put you to flight because I'm not guilty. I'm justified because of Jesus. I've been made righteous because of Jesus. And His blood speaks louder than the righteous blood of Abel that caused God to respond. His blood responds to us on the mercy seat in heaven. That's the communion we take. That's the communion we share as His body with Him as our sacred head. That's why we celebrate the communion we have, the fellowship that we share. That was the first admonition that was read, the fellowship that we have with Him. We have in common with our Lord, don't we? Hallelujah. And by His wounds, we're healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body, flood my soul, flood my body, and flow through me, Lord, so we can say, such as I have, I give to You in the name of Jesus. Pastor, would you come?